I'm trying to focus. I'm trying to listen. Now he's got the gun here. In my chest. And he's trying to grab my arm. He's trying to get me to hold onto the gun. And my arm would not, it was not my arm. My arm would not cooperate. It was limp. He was trying to get my fingers around. I couldn't do it. I could not do it. And the last thing I wanted to do was not do it and make him even angrier. But I couldn't do it. And that infuriated me even more.
This is 43-year-old Cheryl McCafferty testifying in the June 2009 trial where she was accused of murdering her husband, Bob.
He jumped off of me and he started pacing just up and down the side of the bed. And he's waving the gun, and he's waving the gun, and he's saying the same thing. Oh, you can't even do this right. You can't even fucking do this right. And just going on and on, and I'm just sitting there going, oh, my God. I mean, I didn't know whether to try and talk to him. I didn't know what to do.
What were you feeling at that time?
Scared to death, obviously, but helpless. Just, I didn't know what the right thing to do. It had been the man I'd known for 27 years. We've been in these situations before, never to this severity, but I know how to talk him down. And it wasn't happening. So I decided I had to do something. And when he was pacing and his back was turned towards me, I made a run for the door. I ran across the top of the bed, jumped off the top of the bed. Our bed's here, and our door's here. And there's a door here, but he's pacing in front of this one, so that one wasn't an option. So I ran towards the door, and I got about as far as the closet. And he caught me by the back of my t-shirt. I had on one of his, I sleep in his t-shirts. I had on an oversized t-shirt. And he caught me by the back of the t-shirt and he threw me into our closet. We have a, as you're going to the door, we have a big walk-in closet here. And he threw me into the closet and I hit the cabinets we have there. I fell on the ground.
Someone to put the lights on in the closet?
Lights were on in the closet.
Okay.
So I'm on my side. He's back on top of me again. And he's in a rage now. He's not happy I did that. And, so he's sitting on my side. I'm in the closet. He's got the end, whatever the front part of the gun is. Got that just jammed into my temple as hard as you could possibly imagine. And my head is just jammed so hard into the floor.
What were you thinking at that time, Cheryl?
Again, just scared to death. Really thought at that point I was going to die. All I could think of is that my kids were going to find me dead in my closet. He's got the gun to my head. And he's saying, you're going to pay for that. You're going to pay for that. You're going to die. You've got to die. If you don't kill yourself, I'm going to kill your kids and then you'll want to die. And I can't see him. I can't. My eyes are open. I can see the gun, but I can't see his face, which was the scariest part because I couldn't read him. I couldn't read what he was thinking. All I could see was this part of the gun out of this corner of my eye. And then I heard a click. I didn't know what it was because I didn't see what he did. I assumed it was whatever that thing you click before you pull a trigger. And it was that minute he was going to shoot me.
think of it that my kids would come in and be all bloody on the floor.
So we're back here. I heard the click. I just waited.
And the next thing I know, he's shot.
And I knew I'd been shot. I felt it. I felt it on my head. I felt the pressure on the back of my head. I smelled the gunpowder. I remember my son has those cap guns, you know, that when you fire those, it makes that really stinky smell. That's all I could think of. And my ears were just ringing. But I knew I'd been shot because I felt the pressure on the back of my head. But I knew I was alive because I felt him get off of me.
I thought, well, I'll just
lay here. I'll lay here. He'll think I'm dead. He won't bother me anymore. So I did. I just laid there, and I laid there. And I was scared to death to open my eyes. I didn't want to catch me opening my eyes. I felt him get off of me, but I could feel he was still. I couldn't hear because my ears were ringing. But I could just feel his presence around me. I felt him over me. And again, I don't want to open my eyes, thinking I don't want him to know I'm alive. So he's standing over me, and he's doing something, but I don't know what he's doing. And again, I'm afraid to move.
Cheryl.
I don't know what you can feel when you've been married to this person for 18 years, had two children with him, and you spent over half your life with him. He jerked me up. He jerked me up. He pulled me out. And he pushed me back on the bed again. So here I am, back on the bed again. Like a little kid, like I thought it was going to do any good. Just like cowered up to the back of the headboard. I was shaking so badly, and then I got the covers up over me. And look what you made me do. Look what you made me do. This is all your fault. You had to tell. You had to tell. Everything was perfect. Look what you made me do. Because you told me in the closet I wasn't leaving that room. I was not leaving that room alive. So he's standing there, he's pacing back and forth, and I'm sobbing, and I'm begging him. I'm like, Bob, please, please, please don't do this. I love you, the kids love you, please don't do this.
Cheryl loved me, if you loved me, you wouldn't have gotten a divorce, Cheryl loved me.
Yes, Bob, I do love you, the kids love you.
No, you've turned them against me, you'll turn everybody against me.
And he's taking that gun and he's pointing it towards the kids' bedroom. He did that click thing again, and again. Kill yourself, or I'll kill the kids, and you'll want to die. Swinging the gun around, I walked over to my side of the bed and grabbed the phone from my side of the bed. Came back around to his side, where I kind of was. I set the phone on the table.
So you're talking about his bedside table?
Okay. Set the phone on his side of the table. Started begging again. Don't do this. I won't tell anybody. I swear. I swear. I won't get a divorce. I won't tell anybody. We can do this. We can do this. I'm crying and sobbing. And he hates when I cry. He always has hated when I cry. And I'm just begging him. Please, I'll do anything. I'll make it better. I'll please. Please. He's just shut up. Shut up. Quit crying. And he backhanded me. On this side of my face, on the right side. I was crying harder. He told me to lay down. Quit crying and lay down. So I lay down. Now, I was crouched up against the backboard, the headboard. And I slid down, I was on my back. And I just gotta think. He sat down next to me.
Where, what do you mean? Sat down next to you. Was he on the bed then?
He was on the bed with his back leaning against the headboard.
Okay.
So I'm laying here and he's leaning against the headboard here. I'm still crying and he just kept saying, think. I just gotta think. And he had the gun. He had the gun to my head. And he eased his way down. Like, down under the covers. I guess it was his foot hit my leg, and it was just like on fire. Like when your kids are real little and they have their real high fevers, and they feel like their whole bodies are on fire. His foot was just so hot, and he leaned on my back. I'm scared to death to look at him, so I could only see out of the corner of my eye. And he's leaning on this arm, I'm assuming. He's got the gun in my head again, here. Once again, he did the click thing. And in the calmest voice, which was the most frightening of all, he leaned down and he whispered in my ear. And he said, "You know you have to die. It's your choice. You're either going to kill yourself, or I'm going to kill the kids and you'll want to die. It's your choice." What he was capable of, I mean, he'd hurt me in the past, nothing ever to this extreme. He lay there and he stared at me for a really long time. Didn't say anything. I didn't say anything. I was afraid to make him mad again. And he eventually laid all the way down, grabbed a hold of my shirt. I was on my back. He's facing me. He grabbed a hold of my shirt. And before his arm was here, when he laid down, he had the gun in my side. All I knew is I had a gun in my side. He's got a hold of my shirt. And I knew I was out of options. I wasn't getting up. I wasn't talking my way out of it. It was forever. It seemed like absolutely an eternity. Bobbitt had a huge fight with our daughter that day. And sometimes she locks her door to her bedroom when she's scared. I didn't know if her door would be locked. I didn't know if I'd be able to get in to get her. And once I did get her, then I'd have to be able to get...
I'm cutting this part out because she mentions her son's name. Don't think it's a part of the story.
At the door, we open the door for us to leave, is that alarm going to go off? So I'm just playing every possible scenario over in my mind, just for what seemed like forever. What I finally came up with is, I've got to get the gun. I can't do anything until I get the gun. By this time, he's sleeping pretty sound. If this puppy saw me getting up, if it would just... or what he was going to do. So I didn't want to sit up. I wanted to try and roll over and get up so that the dogs didn't actually realize I was up and it's time to get up and go out and do their business and have breakfast. Very slowly, inch by inch, over, 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 over. I mean, we're talking, I don't even know how long, but it seemed like forever. I can't wake him. I can't touch him. I can't do anything. It's going to wake him. He's holding the gun. I don't know if his hand's on the gun. I don't know if I'm going to wake him when I touch the gun. I didn't aim it. I didn't plan it. I didn't think about it. All I knew is I had to stop him. I didn't think, where should I aim? I mean, it was that quick. It was...
He raised it then. No. Cheryl McCafferty spent just under 9 years in jail for murdering her husband, Bob. You can read the Four Thomas Matters archives on Cheryl McCafferty or listen to our podcast archives that demonstrate the math behind how she was able to serve just 9 years. That will be in a link in this article as well. You can listen to all of our podcast archives wherever you download your podcasts or directly on FortThomasMatters.podbean.com or simply just go to iTunes.com and rate us. Rate us high. It helps. Thanks so much. This is Mark Collier, Fort Thomas Matters Radio.